What's up, guys? What's going on, man? I am Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devo with Trust in Jesus Ministries, here to help you trust in Jesus more as we go through the scriptures and understand the scriptures, whether it's easy stuff where we look at it and we're like, man, we can see God completely awesome, or if it's very difficult things where we're like, man, where is God at this time, or how could God do something like this, or how is this possible? We want to help you trust in him by seeing his faithfulness throughout the scriptures. So if you're all about that, man, go and hit that subscribe button. Go and hit that like button. That's if you like the video. And yeah, check us out. And also, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcast you listen to, man, drop us a review. It really helps out the channel, man. Also, you can check us out at trustinjesusministries.com, where I write blogs. And you can see other thoughts that I get from either through these scriptures or just doing things throughout the day. We also have a We also have an Instagram and a TikTok that you can check out. Trust in Jesus Ministries as well, man. Enough of that, though. Let's go ahead and jump into the scriptures. We're in Genesis 34, 25 through 31. If you haven't checked it out, go ahead and check it out. See what it has to say. Come back. We'll answer the four questions. If you've already read it, well, let's jump on into it, man. Well, what's happening? Well, we got previously we saw that the guy who wants to marry the sister of the brothers, or the daughter of Jacob, Dinah, Shechem asked if he can marry the daughter because he really loves her, you know. And so the brothers are like, we can't do this unless you are circumcised. And so they're like, yeah, let's do it. They tell everybody else, they get circumcised. Well, it's the third day of the circumcision, man. And I guess in the Targums, and in which is like a book that is by Jewish, not scholars, even though they are scholars, but not priests. Man, I can't think of the name right now, but they are rabbis. That's it. The rabbis that have written some things down about the scriptures, and they talk about or discuss some of what they believe the scripture is saying. And in the Targums, it discusses the fact that on the third day, that's like the worst time of circumcision. And here it kind of confirms, it says when they were in pain, they were in pain. So is it on the third day when they were in pain? It said the two brothers, Simon and Levi, came down with the sword, man, and slew them all. It says that they killed Hamar and Shechem. They killed all of them. That is crazy. That is crazy. So thinking about it, man, it's like a warrior. You know, you're like, man, these guys are coming down and they're killing and they're slaying these guys. And they got them at the weakest time. We talked about in the last episode how it was all the men at the gates who were probably all of the warriors of the city, the people who could be in the army. So there's no room for retaliation. That's why they did this, to be able to slay every one of them. But think about the travesty of what Simon and Levi have done. They have killed countless men, countless men. This is, they ran on them when they thought they were safe. They deceived them. We talked about that. They said they was going to do this, but it was a deceitful word because all they really were going to do was kill them. Man, that is very tragic. It's very sad to see that this has happened. But let's check out what it says right after that. It says that they killed him with the sword, and then they took Dinah out of Shechem's house. And so you think the sadness of the moral state of these brothers who have come and they have murdered all of this town people, all of the men in this city. But then you realize the whole time that Dinah was being held against her will, was being kept and kidnapped, and it's like Jeffrey Dahmer type stuff, man. I mean, it's like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lamb. That's the kind of thing that seems to be happening in this, except for the fact that he wants to marry her instead of murder her. It's insane. The two things that are occurring in this story right here. We have one who has been raped and kidnapped, and then another one who comes in and murders a whole city. Two huge tragic things. And does one justify the other? That's a big question. Anyway, we continue on, man, and we see after that, it says that the brothers, they're the sons of Jacob, come and they pillage. They take everything from the land. So they increase in their riches from this. And not only that, though, but they also, the kids and the wives, man, they take as captives or slaves and they keep them for themselves, man. And so they've increased not only that is in wealth, because in that time, status and wealth was known by property, cattle, and slaves. And so they have increased their wealth and their property from this act as well. It says that they went and plundered and pillaged everything from the dead. This is the thing that they did. And then afterwards, a statement comes from Jacob. And it's sad because in one sense, his daughter had been kidnapped and kept captive. Had been raped and kept captive. And all he is worried about is the status of his family. It says that the thing in which he's done has brought trouble on him, because now retaliation can come upon him because he's small in number. And that they could gather against him and they would be destroyed, him and his family. But then their brothers come back with a rebuttal and say, should we allow our sister to be treated as a prostitute? Yeah, these are difficult questions to ask. The narrator really doesn't give an answer either. The writer of the book doesn't really say anything towards it. But what he does do is he gives what happens. He tells the story of what happens. So I'm gonna do what we always do here, man. And go through this, probably talk a little bit about what happened in the past, but we're going to go through who God is, who man is, and how we can apply these truths to our lives, even though in something like this, it's very difficult to even to know. We've been going through the last 3 days and just be wondering where God is, because this story is tough. It touches us in places that we normally don't want to go. It ruins us sometimes in a way, because it makes us make decisions that are hard, that we don't even really know how to comprehend. And that's important for us to go through, to wrestle with. So let's wrestle with it. What does it say about God? Well, first off, I want to say it says it's an all-wise God. And I'll explain in the application why I say that, but we'll see that he is an all-wise God and a just God. But what does this say about man? I think what it says about man is that we go far and beyond the punishment that is due. I think it's called the lax telecon or something like that, where it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But we don't want an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. We want two eyes for one eye. We want the whole mouth for a tooth. We want the life. We want the life for a small thing. And so it's something that we as men, as human beings, want to do is we want to go over and beyond the judgment. Not to say that there was not a strict judgment that should be poured out upon Shechem, for sure. but the whole city. That's something that's difficult to assent to attain to, with so many different circumstances that are taking place to see if this judgment is just, the one that these brothers have placed upon this city. Because, man, you find out that Shechem still has their sister. So we know that this is a righteous anger. And that's another thing it says about man, is that righteous wrath from us can turn sinful quickly. This is definitely a righteous anger for them to be overturned by the fact that their sister had been violated and then been kidnapped and has been captive for however the length of time it has been between finding out and then getting her release, gaining her release. Yeah. That's righteous wrath for sure. But the length that they took it causes that righteousness to turn from sinfulness. How can we apply these truths to our lives, man? I think this is allowing God to give the retribution that should occur. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That is what Paul speaks about in Romans, and that's a hard thing to do. I have never been in any situation in which that such a tragedy has occurred, and for me to recognize what kind of anger or what kind of feelings that I would have in regards to that is definitely beyond my realm of comprehension at this moment. And so for me to speak to that is only for me to speak to what the scripture says. But I do know that it doesn't mean we sit around idle when these things happen. Just because we allow God to take revenge, we use the means that God has set up, which is government, police, and lawyers, and all these things, in order to find that to find that retribution when things like this occur. But in saying that, I also want to say, man, that thank God that He is an all-wise God. And I say this because there's so many mitigating circumstances that occur that makes it difficult to know if what we're doing is the right thing or the wrong thing, if how we're handling a situation is the best thing, if what we are saying or how we are responding is, in fact, just. But God being all wise, being just, He knows how to handle every circumstance and situation and to how to handle it well. Not only handle it well, but handle it righteously. And so that's why I go back to saying that God is an all-wise God. He's an all-wise God, and it's based upon His character. And that's why we can trust Him. That's why we know He's faithful. And so with that, man, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.